1 Corinthians chapter 12. A merry heart does good like a medicine. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We want to welcome all of you watching online and just encourage you to email the church and let them know you've been watching, you've been receiving the word. And then also, if you've been fed, just follow the Lord's response in sowing good seed into this ministry. Amen? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And the word gifts is italicized there, and that means it wasn't in the original Greek, but it was added. But we know it includes gifts because in chapter 12, it has a list of all the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I don't know an element of spiritual life that the church is more ignorant of today. And some of the reasons for this are because we've got a few dominating prophetic, now I love prophetic people, my wife is prophetic, but we've got a few dominating prophetic, pathetic people their highest value is their liberty to operate in the gifts rather than what's best for the body to edify the body. Then you have weak pastors who don't want to address whoever it is that's doing whatever they're wanting to do with their liberty because they may be married to Daddy Big Bucks. And so, you have all this, but how many of you know the gifts of the Spirit are for us today? And the gifts of the Spirit are for each of us today. And thank God for a church that allows the gifts of the Spirit to operate. But guys, Paul said he wanted us to walk in the gifts, and he didn't want us to be ignorant about it, and he spent 3 chapters de-ignorantizing us. My word. Informing us, and yet again, I don't know a single aspect of spiritual life that the church is more ignorant of today. But we are a supernatural church. I mean, the church was birthed in the supernatural in Acts 2:4. You know, they were the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they all were filled with the Spirit and spoke in a spiritual language. In other tongues, and then it says in Acts 2:17, and he poured out of his Spirit on all flesh, that your sons and daughters would prophesy, and young men would see visions, and old men would see dreams. That's supernatural stuff, guys. Are you hearing me? I said that's supernatural. That our sons and daughters would prophesy, they would speak encouragement and exhortation. And comfort, they would call people near to God, and then visions and dreams that are in line with the Word would happen, and man, that was normal. The supernatural in the Book of Acts was normal, and God wants the super back on our natural. He wants us to walk in a supernatural life. Look at your neighbor, say he's talking to you today. Now let me just show you a few things. I'm gonna give you some examples of how these things operate. It doesn't have to be weird. We don't have to swing from chandeliers. We don't have to be weird with people and flaky and put them off. We can walk in these gifts. And let me tell you something, guys. This is how many people are going to come to the Lord. Be healed, be delivered, be set free is through the gifts operating through your life. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to a few super duper people. Is that what it says? Who's it given to? Most of us. A few of us. Everybody say each one. So each one includes me. Each one includes you. Okay, then look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. I'm just giving you a few verses, and then we're going to I'm going to give you some examples. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you, everybody say each of you. Who does that include? Each of you means all of us. When you come together, you're going to have something to contribute. You're going to have a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. But he wants it to be done in edification. And then look at verse 31, 14, 31. For a few of you can prophesy. Only the super dupers can prophesy. What does it say? Everybody say you can all. You can all prophesy. So these are gifts, guys. And he said it's for all of us. It's for each of us. It's not just, and yes, certainly you want people who are in ministry to operate in these things. But God has these for each of us. And then these gifts are given to you and I to put us over in challenging situations when you hit the wall and don't know what to do. When your knowledge of the Word, not the Word, but your knowledge of the Word runs out. You need to know that the gifts of the Spirit are there to help kick in gear to put you over, go over, under, around, or through a problem. The gifts of the Spirit are available for you. For each one of us. Yes? And to help reach people who have been previously unreached. And the supernatural is still available today. Guys, the church is a supernatural church. Yeah? And we can have the soup. You know, the reason why he wrote even chapter 14 is the church in Corinth, they came behind in no good gift. They had all the gifts operating, but it was like the charismatic zoo, man. They were just doing all kinds of weird, flaky things, and Paul set things in order. And how many of you know you can have the supernatural, but it needs to be in order? Now, just think about Jesus. Is Jesus our example? Remember that when he turned the water into wine at the wedding at Cana in John chapter 2, remember that? What did he do first? Did he preach the Sermon on the Mount before he turned the water into wine? Did he do that first? No, it was a word of wisdom. Okay, go. Mary said, whatever he says to you, do it. And he said, go fill up the water pots and then pour out to the governor of the feast. And there was a miracle. It was a word of wisdom and working of miracles that happened. And Jesus didn't preach. He operated in the gifts. Okay, the healing of the 10 lepers. Did he preach John 14, 15, 16 before he healed the lepers? No, he said, just go show yourselves to the priest. It was a word of wisdom. Go show yourself. That's one of the gifts. Go show yourself to the priest. As they went, they were healed. Yeah? So it was a word of wisdom, gifts of healings. And in one case, it was working of miracles because one of them was totally restored, who came back to say thanks. Then to the blind man. Remember the blind man at the pool of Bethesda? And Jesus spat on the ground. How did he know to spit on the ground? It was a gift of the Spirit. He knew, one case he spit on the guy's eyes. So he spit on the ground, made clay, put it on the man's eyes. He already couldn't see. And then he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And then Jesus just left. You know, he could have got sued today. You're telling a guy to go wash in the pool of Siloam and you didn't even lead him there. But then as he went, and he did, he was healed. He was a miracle. What is a word of wisdom? He heard from God. This is what how is this person going to be healed? Spit, put it clay on the guy's eyes, tell him what to do. And he went and he was healed. He didn't preach a message. Now look, Jesus preached, he taught, and he healed, right? But the gifts, he operated by the gifts of the Spirit. The woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well? He preached a Sermon on the Mount to her first, didn't he? Did he do that, David? He didn't. Now, did she need to hear the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah, people need the Word. But I'm not departing from the Word. I'm reading you the Word right here. Don't be ignorant about these gifts. Because Jesus, your Savior, the one we're supposed to follow, the one whose ministry we're supposed to be like, he operated in these gifts. How did he get her delivered, set free? You know, he said, well, go get your husband. Well, I don't have a husband. He said, you've rightly said you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, a word of knowledge. Okay, and the one you're living with now is not your husband, another word of knowledge. And that set her free, just a word of knowledge. And she went and told the whole city. She got delivered, set free through a word of knowledge. Jesus, your Savior and your Lord, many times he just operated in the gifts of the Spirit. You know what the problem in the church is today? We've got a gift of the Spirit deficit. Because we're afraid we've seen somebody operate in these gifts in weird, flaky ways, and so we don't move out in them anymore. Or we just, you know, thank God for the evangelists like, you know, Billy Burke and different ones that move, you know, praise God for those supernatural ministries, but you understand Jesus has a supernatural church. And we need to learn to flow in the supernatural. If Jesus did it, then we can do it. Well, where do you get that idea that you can do what Jesus did? Out of the Bible? John 14:12. Could you guys put that up there? John 14:12. Most assuredly, this is Jesus in red letters. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. How many of you believe in Jesus? The works he did, you will do also. Right? Including the gifts of the Spirit. And greater works than these, because I go to my Father. So how are we going to do the same works and operate the same power that Jesus did if we're ignorant of what these gifts are? We're not. But that's the purpose of my book, is we got to get back, guys, where the supernatural becomes natural to us. That's who we are. Okay, we're supernatural people, not weird, flaky people, but supernatural people that just are sensitive to the Lord. And when God speaks to us to pray for somebody, we just step out and we do it. And then signs, wonders, and miracles happen. People get saved, they get healed, they get delivered, they get set free. Yes? I mean, if you read the book of Acts, you see a supernatural church. Amen? Now, you and I need to be that church today. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says the church at Corinth came behind in no good gift. How many of you got any gifts at Christmas this year? Any of you got any gifts? How many gifts did you leave unopened under the Christmas tree? Did you open every one? You've done that every year? Did you do that every year, Christy? Have you? You might get you any gifts this year. Praise God. I was in Decatur in our church a couple of months ago. I asked this couple, I said, how many gifts did your husband give you this Christmas? And she said, none. So we're going to have marriage counseling for you. Anyway, but you didn't leave any unopened. How many of you guys left any Christmas gifts unopened? None. Why? We open every gift. Here's the problem in the church today. There are loads of gifts that are left unopened under Calvary's tree. And some of these gifts are the gifts of the Spirit that I'm talking to you about. Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you two or three examples of these gifts just operating through my life. Okay, is that all right? And then I'm going to talk to you about how do we start just operating in these gifts in our everyday lives. Is that all right? It's in my book, and so you can. I unpack it more in the book, but I pastored for 27 years, and we pastored in Decatur, Texas for 24 of those 27 years. And you know, we had a supernatural church. We had signs and wonders. I mean, especially after we got connected with Calvary, even more so, we saw the supernatural happening on a regular basis because we just had a pastor and a church that we're able to model in a more effective way. Anyway, so I'm on a Sunday morning, just like I am right here, I'm waxing eloquent as I can, right? I'm preaching the word. I've got 3 points, I've finished my second point, while I'm speaking right at the end of that second point, there was a couple that walked in the back of the church, and a young couple, and I just noticed them, and then they sat down in the back, I looked back down at my notes, I finished the second point, and I looked back down at my notes. I didn't have an iPad then. I just had my notes, and I couldn't read. And it was like there was a mist, or all the words were jumbled together, and I couldn't read. And I looked at my Bible, and I couldn't read my Bible. And I took my glasses off, and it was worse. And then I got sometimers. I couldn't think about what I was even preaching about. Now you understand, you're in trouble. You can't read. You don't know the points. You can't even remember what you were preaching about. And so I'm thinking, you know, what do I do? Right? What did Jesus do when they brought the woman that was caught in adultery? Now, how many does it take to commit that thing? 2. And they only brought one. And it was why did they only bring one? Probably because it was one of their buddies, one of the other Pharisees that was the one that was caught. Anyway, they brought the woman. And they said, Moses commanded her to be stoned. What are you going to say, Jesus? What did Jesus do? He stooped down on the ground, knelt down, and he drew on the ground. What was he drawing on the ground? Probably the Pharisees' girlfriends' names. I don't know. But anyway, whatever it was, while he was taking time to draw on the ground, he was taking time to draw on the Father for wisdom. And so, I was in that point. What do I do? And so, all right, I said, a spiritual thing. Why don't we all stop just a minute and lift our hands and praise the Lord? And I said, God, I just praise you, worship you. I don't know what to do next. What do you want to do? And I had this impression. And many times the gifts of the Spirit happen with an impression. When you make yourself available to God, a thought will come or impression will come. And I just run those impressions through the screen of what I know about His character. And from you can just 1 Corinthians 13, you know, that talks about the love of God. Love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it's not rude. All of these things. And if the impression doesn't violate what I know about His character, I just step out on it. And so this impression came. I want you to pray for that couple that walked in the back. Just like I felt led to pray for this gentleman here, I noticed when he came forward, he had a hospital tag on. And the Lord wanted you to know, sir, He really loves you. And He's not only saved you, but he's bringing healing to your body, and He's bringing increase in your life. But He doesn't just want to restore you, sir. He wants you to become a disciple of Jesus. You need to get in His church and be disciple. Anyway, so I did. You know what do I have to lose? I don't know what I was preaching. I can't read. So what do you have to lose? I followed the impression. I said, you know, the couple. I said, could I pray for y'all? I don't mean to embarrass you, but could I pray just like we did for the gentleman here? And I had them stand. And I said, I just started to pray God's blessing over him. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God hit me. It was like another impression, light coming. Tell him I know that his parents have been praying for him. And then tell him he's a prince. And I started prophesying to him. Tell God's, you're a leader in the kingdom. Your parents have been praying for you. And all this was, these were words of knowledge and words of wisdom. But you've strayed from the path that God has for you. If you come back, God's going to give you wonderful things in your life. And he just starts shaking like this. Nobody touched him. He just starts quivering. And then I turned to her and I said, "Ma'am, you've lost something very precious to you." Now I'm talking about, I just stopped. I couldn't do anything else. And I yielded to the Lord and he gave me another impression. You've lost something very precious to you. And God said, if you'll turn your heart to him, he's going to give it back to you. And she fell in a puddle of tears on the floor and sobbed with big sobs. Do you understand? My message was done, but the ministry just started. And people just gathered around them, prayed for them. Did you know this guy, his parents were Baptist deacons who've been praying for him. They were hardcore heroin addicts. And one of them almost overdosed that morning, and they woke up and said, "We got to give God another chance." They saw our billboard sign on the highway. It took them 45 minutes to get there. But it wasn't my great message that delivered them. Look, they got delivered. He had to go to a Christian halfway house for a while, but then she got saved. They both got filled with the Spirit. They ended up getting married, and then she had lost her daughter because of drug abuse. And she got her daughter back, and they became the greatest evangelist in our church. Now, they needed the Word. They needed to be taught. They needed Bible study. They needed to be discipled. But it was the gifts of the Spirit, guys. And it wasn't weird. It was just, "Can I pray for you?" Look how big a risk is that, really? Can I pray for you? And then the Lord gives you an impression. And look, if you know the Word and you just step out, then the gifts will start. Look, it starts popping like popcorn. Boom, 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 boom. Healing, deliverance, salvation. And through you. We don't want to wait till Sunday morning for the gifts to operate. Thank God for a church where it's modeled. And I'm not saying the gifts are more important than the Word, but I'm reading you the Word. These gifts are part of the Word, and they're part of the package. And each of us has them. Now, you know, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance can destroy you. Look, how do we get started? I'm not going to take a long time here. How many of you give me 5 minutes? You all know all this already. 5, 10, 15, 20. No, I'm not going to take that long. Okay, but it's good to see you, Rose and Amy. Bless you guys. Guys, we can each operate in this. We're supposed to operate in this. Okay? So how do we get started? All right? How do we get started? Because this is a great passion of mine, to see the church get off its blessed assurance, get off your hands, and be available for the Holy Spirit to use you in these gifts again. And look, people have to be taught the Word. They have to be discipled through the Word. They have to know the Word. But many times, they will never hear the Word of God, the message. They'll never watch Andrew on television. They'll never watch Calvary online until somebody from Calvary gets off of their blessed assurance and steps out of their comfort zone and just say, "Can I pray for you?" Amen? So, how do I get started? I'm just going to just give you some real simple steps. How do I get started? Number one, you need to become familiar with the gifts. You need to become familiar. How are you going to know how to operate them if you don't know what they are? And some people don't even know what the gift of faith is. The gift of faith, see, the people that came up with the idea of the movie Superman and the show Superman. Remember, any of you have seen Superman? Okay, Do you understand that where they got that from? They got that from a principle in the Bible called a gift of faith, because that's the gift of faith is not faith that comes by hearing the word. The gift of faith is when God takes Clark Kent's and turns them into Superman. And when you get locked in by the Spirit, I mean, this happened to me one day. I was just praying before I was in Bible college. I was just praying, and all of a sudden it felt like all doubt just totally left me. And it was like, I'm like, man, show me a devil or somebody sick or something. Or somebody lost. I've got to pray for somebody. Anyway, I go into class, and this guy sits up and stands up, and he's real gray, and he fell on the floor, and I leapt over to the table, laid hands on him. His eyes rolled back in his head. He was dying. And a gift of faith with a working of miracles, I just laid my hands on him, told him, in Jesus' name, you get up. And man, he came back too like this. And he came back from the hospital the next day, totally healed. Totally healed. And after that happened, all that confidence that made me feel like I was Superman, it left. I said, dear Jesus, I want to live like this all the time. But it was a gift of faith that came in. You need to know what the gifts are. And I've got an entire chapter in here on the gifts. There are other great books on the gifts. You've got lots of books out in the bookstore on the gifts, but you need to be around people that operate in the gifts and read the Bible about the gifts. Amen? Then number two, you need to make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. Bob Nichols and Kenneth Hagin taught me this, is just every day, Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. How many of you want to be a blessing? How many of you ever been around somebody, you've been in a meeting, you're with them for an hour or two, you left, you went, whew, glad that's over. I don't want to be that person. I want to be somebody who leaves you better off. And so every day, God, make us a blessing. And then, listen, here's the problem, guys. We're too stinking self-absorbed. The reason why the gifts aren't flowing through us, we've made ourselves available to moi, to ourselves. And we're focused on what I'm doing and my problems and my needs and, you know, my appointments and all this. But God's got divine connections and divine appointments. If you'll just, God, I make myself available to you, and you can interrupt my schedule. And then you watch and see. You just say, Lord, I want to be a blessing, and you can interrupt my schedule. You watch and see how the divine appointments and divine connections start happening for you. Amen? Third thing, you have to act against pride and fear. You have to act against pride and fear. What is pride? Well, what are people going to think about me if I operate in the gifts? What are they going to think about me? If you really knew how little they thought about you, you wouldn't be worried about it. Who are they thinking about? They're thinking about themselves. My son-in-law is here today, Tim Godwin, and he's a decorated Iraqi war vet. How many vets are here today? Thank you guys so much for your service to us. These guys live by a code of honor. They deal with fear, but they face fear in the face, and they'll lay their lives down for one another and for our country. Many times it's not that there's not fear, you just have to do it afraid. Yeah? And look, if our veterans can go and lay it all on the line for our country and for one another, and what about Christians laying it on the line for Jesus to reach out to hurting people? But we let fear stop us. Well, what if I miss it? Well, what if you don't miss it? Again, it's like what do you have? Look, most of the time when you reach out to somebody, God's putting somebody on your heart to pick up the phone, call them. Have you ever had somebody's face come before you and look? You just what does he want you to do? Well, pray for them, but then pick up the phone and call them or go reach out to them or something, and then be available. The Holy Spirit might want to speak to them or heal them, save them, deliver them through you. But you've got to act against fear and pride. Look, you've got to, you fear, look, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is willing to face your greatest fear and do it afraid. You just attack fear in the face. Amen? And if you're going to operate in the gifts, you've got to act against pride and fear. Pride and fear are selfish. And you won't see the gifts operate if you let that lead you. And finally, the plane has landed. Is this okay? But this point I've got to make really clear. We could spend a long time on pride and fear. But the bottom line is you have to realize that's selfish. And God's, look guys, there are people that God's bringing into your life that will never know Jesus, that will never know his healing power, will never know his love, will never know all of the wonderful things that you know if you live trapped by fear and pride. But then finally, number four, you need to understand the primary flows of the Spirit. You need to understand how the Spirit moves through you. And this is very, very simple. It's not rocket science, okay? And I'm just going to give you some scriptures really quick. I'm not going to take time to teach them. I'm just going to give you some scriptures. John 7, 37 and 38, Jesus said, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, and then out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." When you're saved, you have a well of water in you, John 4, but John 7, when you're filled with the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit, there's rivers of water that flow out of you. If you combine that with Ezekiel 47, 9, he said, "Wherever the rivers go, there's going to be life and healing." Okay, so there's in Acts 2:17 again, he said when he pours out his Spirit, he's going to pour out of his Spirit. He didn't say in the New Testament he's going to pour out his Spirit. He says he's going to pour out of. So who does he pour out of? You and me, right? And so there are different flows of the Spirit. There are different ways that the Spirit flows through us in two primary ways. He flows through us. Number one is a flow of love. Matthew, I'm just going to give you a couple examples of these, and then we're going to be done. The flow of love, that's Matthew 14, 14. Jesus was moved with compassion, and what happened? He healed their sick. In 1 Corinthians 14, 1, he said, "Pursue love." Everybody say, "Follow love." And then desire spiritual gifts. Which one comes first? Love. So how many of you have ever had compassion flowing through you towards somebody? Okay, he's moving, he's trying to move you toward that person because he wants to release the gifts. He's wanting to release healing. He's wanting to release salvation. He's wanting to release freedom, deliverance, whatever. Has that ever happened to you? Okay, that's one of the flows of the Spirit. When he's moving, when he puts compassion in your heart towards somebody, you've got to move with it. Okay, let me give you one example on this. My son, Jeremiah, 7 years old. We were in Decatur at this time. He went down to his friend's house, David. You remember the Rices? And he went to David's house. And David, I think, was six. David had a little brother named Ariel. was a year and a half old. Ariel was sitting in a high chair. Jeremiah and David were in the other room playing. I just saw Jeremiah just a week ago, and I asked him about this, if he remembered it. I remembered him telling me. He said, "Oh yeah, Dad," but then he added one more thing. He said, "God gave me a vision. I saw this high chair with Ariel in it falling back, and it was a hard tile floor." And then he said, there was an impression, "Go stand behind Ariel." So he had a vision, 7 years old. He had a vision, "Go stand behind Ariel." Then he had a vision of Ariel falling back, and then he had an impression, "Go stand behind Ariel." He left playing, and he started over to stand behind Ariel, and as he did, his mother had left the room. Ariel kicked the table in front of him, and the high chair started to go back on a hard tile floor. Jeremiah was there to catch him. I said, "Son, how did you know this was God? 7 years old." He said, "I thought for a second, Dad, and it wasn't a selfish thought." Seven years old. And the gifts of the Spirit operated through my seven-year-old. Do you think there are impressions? "Yeah, but I just want to make sure it's God." Well, the way you make sure it's God is you act on it. You act against your fear. You act against your pride. How are you going to make sure it's God sitting on your blessed assurance, doing nothing with it? And there's a whole lot of people in the church today that the Lord has need of you to get off of your duff and get out and do something. Amen. So the flow of love, and then finally the flow of light. 1 John 1:5-7 says, "God is light, and then if you'll walk in the light as he's in the light, you're going to have fellowship with one another." Fellowship there means contribution or distribution. How many of you would like to contribute or distribute to somebody something? Okay, then Ephesians 5:8 talks about us walking in the light. Well, how does light come? What are different ways light can come? It can come through while you're reading the Word. You can get an impression. You can have a dream. You can get a vision. Somebody can give you a prophetic word. It can come lots of different ways. Okay? But no matter how it comes, if you know 1 Corinthians 13 about God's love, 4 through 8, you can take every impression or every light that you get and run it through the screen of God's character. And you understand what I mean by that? It's just simple. If I know what Jesus is like in Galatians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians 13, then I know his character, and so I take every prophetic word, every vision, every dream, every impression, I run it through what I know about Jesus. And if it goes through, I act on it. If it doesn't violate the word, in other words, like Jeremiah said, if it's not selfish, I act on it. I step out on it. So this is years ago, I was in business in Houston, Texas. I'm driving down Beechnut Street in southwest Houston. And I knew a shortcut. There was traffic. And how many of y'all know the shortcuts? And so I took a shortcut. And there were some apartments over here on the left. And there was a bayou over on the right. In Houston, they call them bayous. It's just a glorified creek. And with concrete on each side now. And so, I'm driving down here, and then this guy, this hippie looking guy, long hair, he's doing this Tebow thing like this, before Tebow was born. And he's doing this. And I think to myself, Dan, I said, "That guy's weird. That looks weird." And I heard an impression. light, go join yourself to that man. And I said, I rebuke you, devil. I said, I'm not a redneck, but do I look like a hippie? I mean, you know, I'm not a drug guy, and I'm not, you know, I don't have any. This guy looked like he was high and spaced out, so I kept driving, trying to rebuke that thought, and it came back. I said, go join yourself to that man. And then it came stronger the third time. And I've learned since then not to argue, just to run it, just take that impression. Does it fit love? And you know, is it going to help somebody? So I said, okay, I'll show you, Lord. I don't have ministry to hippies. So I parked into the apartments, walked across the street to him, and grabbed his hand, and I said, hey, my name is Greg, and I was driving by, and God wanted me to tell you basically what Dan was saying. You know, he loves you. He's got a good plan for your life, and he's looking at me like Mike is right now, like, get out of my space. Right? You weren't saying that. Anyway, he's looking at me like that, right? And so I was thinking to myself, I told you, Lord, I don't have a ministry to hippies. And while I've got a hold of his hand, I heard another impression. And usually it's not this specific, okay? But this was very specific. Tell him I know that he lost his job. Tell him I know he got his car repossessed last night. Tell him I know that he just got evicted out of those apartments over there. I said, you know, what do I have to lose? I never met the guy before. And I'm not going to probably ever, he's going to really tell me, you know, get out of my life. I just said, did you lose your job? I mean, I didn't do it really perfect. Don't look at me in that religious tone of voice. Did you just lose your job? And did you get your car repossessed? And I believe the Lord's telling me you got evicted out of those apartments. He said, how'd you know that? And he starts weeping. And he shows me. He showed me this big hole in his jeans before holy jeans were fashionable. And he said, I was in construction and I fell off a roof. I just got out of the hospital. And he said, when I got back, they'd fired me. They'd hired somebody else. He said, last night, they repossessed my car. He said, this morning, I got an eviction notice. I've run out of money. I don't have any money for food. I walked across the street and said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me, or I'm going to kill myself. His name was Billy. Billy got saved. Billy got filled with the Spirit. Billy got Janice's car. Don't worry about it. She got a better one. Billy got a job. Billy came to Lakewood Church with us because that's where we went at the time. And he became a disciple of Jesus. He never would have seen the day if somebody wouldn't have yielded to the Holy Spirit. Now, did Billy need the word? And did Billy need to hear the word? And did Billy need to get discipled? Yeah, guys. But there are a whole lot of Billys out there, and Susies and Janes, and that they need some Christian to act against their pride and their fear and get off their blessed assurance. I didn't even know what to say to the guy. I just walked across the street and told him God loved him, and then more light came. Guys, and I didn't even have any compassion for him initially. Right? So if we'll follow the flow of love and we'll follow the flow of light, what's going to happen is miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Amy, God said, this is your year of jubilee. God is going to restore, and man, it's going to be like better than before. You're not going to have to work for it. You're not going to have to strive for it. but all the visions and dreams that God's put in your heart, He's going to bring to pass in a short period of time. God loves you, and those things He's put in your heart, He wants you to know it's from Him, and He's going to bring it to pass. He doesn't need your help. All He needs is your agreement. If you'll just believe Him, you need to chill out. You need to stop trying to do it in your own strength, and you just need to receive what the Lord has for you, because He said, I'm well able to bring these things to pass. And don't let delay, don't let disappointment, don't let the things of the past and your bad experiences stop you, because the Lord said, the deal's still on.
Yes. Amen.
The deal's still on. Amen? Father, we just agree in Jesus' name that You're going to bring those things to pass in her. Hallelujah. How did I know? I just felt this drawing to her, and then you just step out. Guys, this is for each of us. Each of us have the ability. Jim and Jeannie, God's got wonderful things for you. There are divine appointments and divine connections He's going to bring into your life. I see you guys teaching people. I don't know if you have a Bible study in your heart, but I see you teaching people and training people in these things and the Word of God. And I know that you've had success in the past, but your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. Great fruitfulness. And as you begin to follow these things I've been talking about, you're going to see divine appointments. Things are going to start happening that you've just been praying about, you know, as you follow love and you follow light. So, Father, we just release Jim and Jeannie to all the wonderful things You have for them. Father, it's not just about them coming to church. It's about them going out and being the church. And I just thank You for releasing the gifts through them in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you desire this? How many of you desire it? Well, we need to walk in it, guys. Won't you stand up together with me? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Let's lift our hands. Let's thank Him. Just make ourselves available. Father, we're available. We're available. We're available. We're available. Say, I'm available.
I'm available.
You can use me.
You can use me.
Father, I'm
available
to follow the flow of love.
Flow of light.
I act against fear.
I act against pride.
That has no place in my life.
No place
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father, we just worship You. We bless You. Now just begin to worship Him with me, guys. Thank You, Lord. 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 Thank You for the gifts, Father. Thank You for the gifts, Father, operating in and through us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Sue, I know You've done this, okay? I know You've done this, but even more so accurately, and also You're going to train people to do this. You're going to prophesy the future. God's going to show you the future of those children over there, and as He shows you, you be bold to prophesy their future, because they will become mighty men and women of valor as somebody who they believe in and knows that You believe in them. And you be bold to prophesy that over them, because God's going to bring to pass the things He shows you about them. You be bold to share that. You be bold to speak that. You be bold to pray that. Amen? Father, we just release Sue and her staff, Father, to bring forth the kingdom potential in these young men and women in Calvary Cathedral International School Academy. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for that. We thank You for that. Listen, guys, listen. You have the ability to prophesy your children's destiny. Do not get locked in on what you see in the natural. Part of your responsibility is to speak, call those things that be not as though they were. Prophesy to those dry bones. Command them to live. Prophesy their potential. You don't even have to speak it in front of them. You just speak it over them in prayer, and God will yet bring it to pass. Amen. How many of you have sons or daughters you're praying for? All right, stop focusing on the problems. You start prophesying what God says about them. Stop getting locked in on what you see with a natural eye. What do you see in your heart? Prophesy that. Speak that. And you're giving God something to work with. Amen? And then we just release laborers. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Laborers to your family, whereby they might believe in Jesus' name. Amen? Praise God. We love you guys. Did you receive anything today? We love you. And praise God over you. I'm speaking over Calvary, the destiny of Calvary Cathedral International. Our best days are not behind us. They're in front of us. Well, I see this church thriving again. I see this church not just surviving, but thriving again. I see this church not only winning souls, but making disciples and going out and changing the world. I see this church filled on Sunday mornings, full of people that are being equipped and trained to go out and do the work of the ministry. Don't get your eyes on the things that you see. You get your eyes on what the Lord's saying. Amen? God bless you guys. Love y'all.